Stephen King let loose with CRISPR gene splicer. Well, that's really what the opening verse of today's gospel sounds like. That Jesus woke from some gene editing nightmare and couldn't get the images out of his head, and they interfered with what he was going to say to his disciples. It seems such a mangle of images and intentions that if the blogosphere existed at the time of Jesus, we would have endless writings about how bad a religious leader he is, not following the law, not understanding the tradition, innovating all the time and speaking in ways that people can't understand clearly. The man is not giving us direction and he contradicts himself all the time. Well, the blogosphere didn't exist, but the cross did. And Jesus was crucified for these and other images that he brings across. And the image in today's gospel is particularly dangerous because he tells us the guidance is within ourselves. The Holy Spirit is there to make sense of how law and compassion can meet and bring people to a sense of salvation, and how dangerous it is for those individuals who try that approach of wisdom. For we do not tolerate wisdom very easily. We look for the easy answer, for the immediate promise. And that is why politicians have a following, because over and over and over again, we are fooled by the easy answer, the baiting of our prejudices, and of course, the canonization of our sins against humanity and God as virtues. Jesus does not do this. He does not give empty promises. He does point to the hard work of being a Christian, knowing when the law reaches its limits, and knowing when compassion has to be shaped by tradition. Bringing these two together is not impossible, but it is difficult. It demands the self-reflection, and it demands a trust in the Holy Spirit that moves beyond law, beyond tradition, beyond what has been held holy, as to achieve a greater holiness. That path will always have its detractors who want the simple political answers to everything. Divorced and remarried? We don't really welcome them as full members of the church. We welcome them as sinners, so that we might feel self-righteous. Gays? Well, Catholics aren't allowed to use that word anyway, so they don't exist. The church's social teaching is just so nice that it is not attainable. Of course, the moral teaching of how two people should behave with each other in moments of intimacy is immediately attainable. In fact, it must be enforced on everybody. The wisdom of the serpent and the gentleness of the dove bring all these things in relationship to each other. For the social teaching is not divorced from personal morality. Personal morality is not divorced from economics and the parlous state in which the world and its economies find itself. But Jesus' way is not popular. It is not popular even among his followers. And so there is a call to conversion and a call to trust. And in the first readings this week, we have been hearing from the prophet Hosea, who rails against the idolatry of Samaria and the northern kingdom at the time just before the fall of the northern kingdom. We might think that we are free from idolatry in our own day and age, because we no longer perform sacrifices to idols and all the rest. But we do. We sacrifice people to our ideology of nationalism and racial purities. We sacrifice children to war machines. We sacrifice countries to our economic growth. And we sacrifice a good portion of the world's population to our comfort and to our consumer goods. The way of the serpent and the dove, a difficult way, which will lead to angry letters being poured out in the blogosphere, which will lead to the crucifixion of characters, but will ultimately lead to the wisdom of God being experienced on earth. We are called to conversion, not to the nightmare of Stephen King let loose in a CRISPR machine, but rather to that contradictory wisdom in which all compassion is revealed, all sins repented, and all holiness embraced. Amen.